priests, who history records died by his own hand, or disease, or was murdered by mutinous soldiers. History has no single voice on this, nor on many other matters. The throne then passed to Aurelian, a general who had been nominated for the purple by Claudius on his deathbed.
The reign of Aurelian lasted only 4 years and about 9 months, but every instant of that short period was filled by some memorable achievement. He put an end to the Gothic War, chastised the Germans who invaded Italy, recovered Gaul, Spain, and Britain out of the hands of Tetricus, and destroyed the proud monarchy which Zenobia had erected in the east on the ruins of the afflicted empire. It was the rigid attention of Aurelian, even to the minutest articles of discipline, which bestowed such uninterrupted success on his arms. His military regulations are contained in a very concise epistle to one of his inferior officers, who is commanded to enforce them as he wishes to become a tribune, or as he is desirous to live. Gaming, drinking, and the arts of divination were severely prohibited. Aurelian expected that his soldiers should be modest, frugal, and laborious, that their armor should be constantly kept bright, their weapons sharp, their clothing and horses ready for immediate service, that they should live in their quarters with chastity and sobriety, without damaging the cornfields, without stealing even a sheep, a fowl, or a bunch of grapes, without exacting from their landlords either salt or oil or wood. The public allowance, continues the emperor, is sufficient for their support. Their wealth should be collected from the spoil of the enemy, not from the tears of the provincials. A single instance will serve to display the rigor and even cruelty of Aurelian. One of the soldiers had seduced the wife of his host. The guilty wretch was fastened to two trees, forcibly drawn towards each other, and his limbs were torn asunder by their sudden separation. A few such examples impressed a salutary consternation. The punishments of Aurelian were terrible, but he had seldom occasion to punish more than once the same offence. Exhausted by so many calamities, which they had mutually endured and inflicted during a 20 years' war, the Goths and the Romans consented to a lasting and beneficial treaty. It was earnestly solicited by the barbarians and cheerfully ratified by the legions, to whose suffrage the prudence of Aurelian referred the decision of that important question. The Gothic nation engaged to supply the armies of Rome with a body of 2,000 auxiliaries, consisting entirely of cavalry, and stipulated in return an undisturbed retreat with a regular market as far as the Danube, provided by the emperor's care, but at their own expense. The treaty was observed with such religious fidelity that when a party of 500 men straggled from the camp in quest of plunder, the king or general of the barbarians commanded that the guilty leader should be apprehended and shot to death with darts, as a victim devoted to the sanctity of their engagements. It is, however, not unlikely that the precaution of Aurelian, who had exacted as hostages the sons and daughters of the Gothic chiefs, contributed something to this pacific temper. The youths he trained in the exercise of arms and near his own person. To the damsels he gave a liberal and Roman education, and by bestowing them in marriage on some of his principal officers, gradually introduced between the two nations the closest and most endearing connections. But the most important condition of peace was understood, rather than expressed in the treaty. Aurelian withdrew the Roman forces from Dacia, and tacitly relinquished that great province to the Goths and Vandals. His manly judgment convinced him of the solid advantages, and taught him to despise the seeming disgrace of thus contracting the frontiers of the monarchy.
Aurelian, who ruled for the 5 years between AD 270 to AD 275, faced many foes on the edges of his empire. He subdued by arms the Alemanni, the barbarian hordes who menaced the empire along the Danube and from the Alps to the Apennine, defeating them in 3 successive battles. He defeated Tetricus, who rebelliously at one stage reigned over Gaul, Spain, and Britain. Then he turned his attention to the east, against Zenobia, queen of Palmyra, in Syria.
Modern Europe has produced several illustrious women who have sustained with glory the weight of empire. But Zenobia is perhaps the only female whose superior genius broke through the servile indolence imposed on her sex by the climate and manners of Asia. She claimed her descent from the Macedonian kings of Egypt,